The thing that really struck me is that human trafficking touches 25 different industries, and we don't think about the sourcing of a human trafficking victim and ultimately survivor when they're rescued.
Human trafficking doesn't always take the form we first imagine. It can be found at almost any level of an organization's supply chain. What can compliance professionals do to assess human trafficking risk, and how can they leverage the resources of the organizations they work for to help root out this tragic problem? Gwen Hassan is here to help. This is Hidden Traffic.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Hidden Traffic. I am your host, Gwen Hassan, and I'm really excited today to have Noel Thomas with me. Noel is the CEO of an organization called Zero Trafficking. Hi, Noel. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Gwen. Pleasure to be on the show.
Thanks. So I have to ask, I looked at your website and your background seems fascinating, but I'm especially fascinated by you used to be a bass guitarist in a rock band, but somehow now ended up in human trafficking prevention and data analytics. How did this happen? Tell us about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So I traveled the world in a rock and roll band playing bass. And while I was on tour in Europe, I got a flyer on human trafficking. And I learned on the flyer that there was 27 million people enslaved around the world and that it was $150 billion illicit industry. So I wanted to know as much as I could about it. So I went to India and I took a team of videographers and individuals, and we filmed these brothels of India. And while we were there, we saw this 14-year-old girl that was being trafficked, and law enforcement was helping facilitate the sale. And the quote by Edmund Burke struck me, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing.
And so
that was it for me. That was a life-changing moment. I came back to the U.S., started a nonprofit a while ago, and then was the statewide anti-trafficking coordinator in the state of Florida. And it was working with these task forces that I realized that they were manually looking online for human trafficking. Mm. And we thought there has to be a better way to bring technology and data to this space. And what we quickly realized was that it wasn't only law enforcement and government that could benefit from this data, that it was also corporations, mm-hmm. including social media platforms, including banks, including real estate developers. And so now our business has grown in helping compliance teams across the globe up their compliance and specifically mitigate the risks involved with human trafficking.
So let's dive into that. That's great. I understand that Zero Trafficking offers, is it accurate to say it's a data set that you offer? And then there's different kind of use cases that corporations might have for that data set. Tell us a bit about how that works.
Yeah, so we've curated these data sets of human trafficking and suspected human trafficking. And everyone can use this data on these compliance teams, ranging from social media companies who want to prevent bad actors from coming onto their platform.
Their platforms, yeah.
Right, exactly. Or banks that are looking to monitor accounts and transactions or look past the anti-money laundering data that they have and perhaps look at how human traffickers might be using financial institutions to launder funds. And then real estate groups that are looking to build out strip malls or plazas can look to see these high density areas of human trafficking and take that into consideration with planning, as well as travel organizations that can help keep their travelers safe. So we work with a lot of different compliance teams and give them the data and tools and training that they need to fight human trafficking, keep their users or customers safe, and make an impact in their community.
How timely. I'm always amazed at the kismet of some of my conversations, because with the new European rules around human rights due diligence, and
right.
There's already in place in Germany and now emerging in the EU overall, Japan has a new Human Rights Due Diligence Act. California just tried to pass one that narrowly failed, but it'll be back. Mm-hmm. This sounds like exactly the information you need to kind of do an enhancement to what you're already doing. If you're doing, a money laundering review, great, but that doesn't cover all of the different human rights aspects. And it sounds like yours at least is one step towards adding a significant element of human rights to your due diligence checks. So excellent timing. Good to know that that's out there. I didn't even know this existed until we started talking. So good.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of civil suits that have been filed around human trafficking and laws that have strengthened that. And so a lot of our companies that we're working with are scrambling to put policies and procedures in place and protect. And to the credit of the companies that we work with, they don't want human trafficking on their properties or in their platforms, but they don't always have the training and data that they need to do that. And so we've been helping them spin up these programs quickly as legislation and regulation begins to emerge, exactly as you're saying, and requires deeper compliance and due diligence.
So I understand that in addition to these data sets, you also offer training programs in this area. So I'd like to know more about what kind of training we're talking about. Is this training that is really appropriate for an IT group on how to do their own kind of work in the tech and data set space? Or is it useful for corporate compliance professionals that don't have a tech background, or both? Tell us about the training.
Absolutely both. You know, okay. So we train a lot of Fortune 500 companies on how to identify it. So, you know, if you're a bank teller, here's how to spot the signs of human trafficking. But then we go a level deeper and we talk about the current limitations of data that's out there, especially alerts and watch lists, where they might have the name John Smith on some watch list, but it creates a ton of false positives because it's hard to do the due diligence around that. And we found ways to help reduce those false positives so we could show how data can be used in that type of compliance and regulatory environment. And the other is training on how to use this high trafficking density data to better plan thoughtful communities and how to respond to crime, or how to think about your next big commercial real estate endeavor. And so there's a broad application of the trainings, and we tailor it for each vertical that we speak to so that they've got the tools that are unique to their industry. So we've done retail stores, big box retail stores, and showing the overlap of human trafficking and organized retail crime. We've done the money laundering piece for banks. And so we're always looking for different industries that are interested in us doing a training for them based on whether it's their IT and technology teams or it's frontline staff that might need to identify a victim of human trafficking.
That's excellent. First of all, there's so few people in this space that are creating training that has any depth to it. I've seen a lot of training that's very much don't do this. That doesn't help much. I mean, it's good to tell your people that you can't engage in forced labor or human trafficking practices, but getting to kind of the more practical application of how to prevent it within your company, I think is great. What a valuable offering. That's fantastic. Your story also reminded me of a story of my own, which is my dad's name was Jim Lee. He has passed away many years ago, but he called me one day and said, I don't know what's going on, but I can't buy a laptop computer because they tell me I'm on some kind of a watch list. I don't know, like I'm some sort of a terrorist. I don't understand what's happening. And it turned out it was a false positive. There was a James Lee who had been involved in some kind of terror operation. And so every James Lee was coming up as flagged, and Oracle would not send him the computer that he needed. Yeah. So thank goodness for people like you that are helping people figure out how to limit and reduce those numbers of false positives too, because that inhibits business. You know, when you've got a team that's trying to sell, and every time they try and sell something, they're getting a flag come up. It takes time and energy to try and resolve it. And so great. I'm glad to know. Tell us a bit about your DarkWatch platform. First of all, I love the name. Good job on the marketing of that name. Would it be accurate to describe it as kind of a, I don't know, an interconnected network of good guys that are sharing information about, for lack of a better term, bad guys? You know, the criminal networks that usually are behind human trafficking practices. Is that more or less a good description?
That is a very good description. And as General McChrystal said, it takes, you know, a network to defeat a network. And so if we're going to defeat these criminals and terrorists that are involved in this space, then we need, exactly as you're saying, a network of good guys that are working together to keep bad actors out of their networks, out of their communities and platforms. And this is definitely a tool for collaboration. It's a tool for actionable insight and the ability to draw down deep insights across industry of where this could affect. You know, the thing that really struck me is that human trafficking touches 25 different industries. And we don't think about the sourcing of a human trafficking victim and ultimately survivor when they're rescued. But there's the airline industry that is involved as they're being brought overseas. There's hospitality, there's rideshare, car rentals, food and beverage, big box retailers. And so there's 25 kind of points that these human traffickers and or victims and survivors can interact with a brand. And knowing that is important because human trafficking is often operating in plain sight. It's here in the United States. It's not just abroad. And companies should have the tools to fight back against the traffickers or save a life if they come across a victim of human trafficking. And that's why we really try and push this training and DarkWatch platform is to give these 25 industries the tools that they need to begin to actually make a difference in fighting the back on human trafficking.
I had never thought about that before. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I was speaking to somebody last night about the upcoming Super Bowl in the context of, you know, how fun it was to go. And my first thought, having worked in this space for a while, was, well, yeah, it's super fun if you're attending, but it's also one of the largest human trafficking events that occurs in the US every year, along with FIFA and other countries, you know, the trafficking of people. But it hadn't occurred to me, the 25 touch points. I was in O'Hare last week and I saw on the back of one of the doors in the bathroom, a little poster that was talking about, are you safe and are you okay? Yeah. And if not, you know, if you're here against your will, here's some people that you can contact. Here's some numbers you can call. Here's a text message that you can send. And that makes sense because you think, oh yeah, the airport might be the first space of landing. But I hadn't given much thought to your point of then the 24 other places that they are connected with as they enter the country, whether that's, like you said, a car rental or an Uber or a Lyft or a hotel. Wow. That's going to be rolling around in my mind now for the rest of the day. Every time I walk around thinking, yeah, that's one of the 25. Yeah.
Right.
Fascinating. Okay. So what kind of final thoughts or recommendations, anything that you would like to suggest that people like me who are compliance professionals who are working in a corporation that are trying to make some amount of difference, where do they start? Do they start talking with their IT teams? Should they be doing kind of cross-functional training that talks a little bit more about data? Maybe that's the next frontier for compliance is into the data space.
Absolutely. You know, so we're building an army of do-gooders, right?
Yeah.
That are in these 25 industries. You know, the first step is a conversation. What policies and procedures and data do we have in place? What company-wide training have we done in the past to support this, to mitigate our risk and also save lives in the process? And that conversation with higher ups and with teams is usually where a lot of this starts. The second is understanding how data and technology can help prevent this risk and foster better collaboration, which we can do through training or point to other resources. And the last thing is that we're getting ready to release some t-shirts and merchandise around this so that everyone can show their solidarity with this movement. And so that's always a potential as well. The last thing I'll say is that this transcends beyond corporate responsibility into community responsibility. This is a conversation with city council and mayors and law enforcement. We've got 30,000 illicit entities suspected of human trafficking in the United States that often operate in plain sight. We've all seen them. If we were to go through the signs, there should be questions. You know, why is this allowed to exist? And why does this happen in our backyard? So there's both a corporate responsibility and the community responsibility and an opportunity to go beyond just your typical compliance and daily work and actually do something that literally can save lives and put bad guys behind bars. And every one of these 25 industries have that capability of being a superhero in their day-to-day jobs.
I love that. That's a good t-shirt idea, Noel. Anti-trafficking superhero. I like it. Think about it.
I like it. That's great. That's great.
Or zero trafficking superhero, maybe. I don't know. That way you brand, but you also, I like that title. That'd be a good one. I'd buy that shirt. So
awesome.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you. I know you're super busy, and I'm glad you are, because it means a lot of good work is happening. Where can our listeners find out more about zero trafficking or contact you if they want to continue the conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to our website, www.zerotrafficking.com, or you can add us on LinkedIn. Our team, including myself, are on LinkedIn, and that would be the best way to connect and engage with us. Then you can see content that we're putting out, you know, helpful tips and tricks and different articles that are relevant to various industries. So
great.
That would be the best way. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Nolan. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you as well. Have a great day.
You too.